It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. And U.S. Soccer and the She Believes Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with us for our weekly show. We cover soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, in the hemisphere, in the world. That's what we do. This is AST. And man, have we had a lot to talk about here as of late when it comes to Atlanta United. This was a team that not even that long ago, time is kind of warping on me at this point. Not that long ago, this was a team that had 10% chance to get into the postseason on decision day. That feels like months ago, and that was only a couple of weeks ago. This was a team that gave up a 2-goal lead in Montreal in the wild card game and had to find a way through playoffs or through a shootout with penalties. In those playoffs, they then had to go to Fort Lauderdale and deal with tired legs and everything going against you and a golazo from Jordi Alba. And that puts your season on the brink again at home, at the Benz, with a huge crowd, the upper level open, almost 70,000 people in the building on Saturday night, not many of them wearing pink or Argentina jerseys. There were some, don't get me wrong. I did see them. There were quite a few messy shirts around, but there was a different vibe in the building than even last time Miami was in town, where that game felt more like a big event that happened to have a league result riding on it. This one felt like a playoff game. This one felt different, and it didn't look great at halftime, where a crazy goal that Miami scores in the 40th minute from David Martinez ends up giving them the advantage. Atlanta does not give up in the moment. They end up going and finding two in the second half. I'm sure you've heard them by now. Derek Williams in the 58th minute. Sean De Silva in the 94th. Atlanta held on for a couple more minutes after that, and they get the win. That forces game three. That's going to be Saturday night. 8 o'clock kickoff in Fort Lauderdale. You'll be able to listen on Star 94 and on the Odyssey app. Let's kind of go step by step on what happened Saturday night and thoughts about it, and specifically about how it kind of relates to game three. We're going to get heavier into game three in segment number two. But I want to start with that goal that Atlanta conceded. Two of the three goals Atlanta's conceded in the two games have been odd. The first one in Fort Lauderdale in game one, it's a turnover in the first 2 minutes of the match, and you end up getting punished as you are trying to get going on very tired legs. It felt out of place for where the rest of that match was. This one on Saturday night felt very out of place for where the game was Saturday night. And then when you look back at it, where Brad Kazan has been for this team as of late, it ends up as a mistake by Brad Kazan. There's, you know, no way around that. It's a mistake. It's a goal that you give up in a weird way. It's also a moment where we see that called against the attacking player in that moment plenty of times. You can't impede the goalkeeper when they are trying to release the ball and bring it back into play. That definition can be twisted around a lot of different ways. It's not cut and dried, sadly. And this is what makes it so complicated. And there's other elements to it in terms of a review and should there have been a review and all of those things. So just a little bit of language from the referee side of things. I don't want to harp on this because it ends up not deciding the match. Sean De Silva's goal ends up meaning more because of this moment. But just to kind of put a bow on it, when the goalkeeper has control of the ball, and this is a practical guide to match officials. Goalkeeper's got control of the ball, as Brad Kazan did. He's looking to Saba Lobjanidze. He wants to launch that long down the right side, as we've seen Kazan do multiple times this season. He's got an assist to his credit this year. When he is in the process of releasing it, and the examples are throwing or kicking the ball, no opponent can interfere with the release or challenge for the ball. Those are open to interpretation, right? Does Redondo make a movement towards Kazan and potentially interfere with the release or challenge for the ball? Yes. If Brad Kazan goes through his motion that he starts with to punt the ball and makes contact with Redondo, that is called a foul on Redondo 9.9 times out of 10. He doesn't. He hesitates when Redondo steps towards him, drops the ball. It ends up finding its way to Martinez, and it ends up finding its way to the back of the net. I will be very curious to see how the professional referees organization talks about this. Again, it ultimately doesn't matter. Could have decided Atlanta United season. And I will be very curious to see what the fallout is from it. Should it have gone to review? Should it have not been given initially? Should the video assistant referee recommend the review? Did the referee say no? There's a lot of different elements to it. I'll just be very curious because, you know, look, I'm a nerd, right, about these things. I want to learn about how it should be handled next time. Very strange moment. And how many times in games have you seen strange moments like that end up being very hard to overcome for a team? It honestly feels in some ways the weirder the goal that is conceded, the more difficult it is to come back. And this was a pretty weird goal to concede, and it was late in the half. Atlanta went into the locker room 1-0 down. I think what we have seen from this team over the past, you know, honestly, if you go back to the Charlotte game, you go back to the response from what happened in Los Angeles in game one after the League's Cup. This team has picked itself up. Now, at home, it's struggled to do that more than it has on the road. That is a fair statement. We think back to the Nashville game. We think back to the Montreal game at home. There was concern in my mind about how this team would handle the second half. There was concern about those moments where you might get those lulls in the game, and you might get those lulls in the emotion in the building, and how some of the players for Atlanta United would handle that. Would that force them into trying things and making mistakes? Would it force them into turnovers that could get punished? Against a Lionel Messi, against a Luis Suarez, you have to think about that. It didn't. And the mental resolve of this team that has steadily increased since that win in Charlotte showed in the second half. Derek Williams, who had a really good opportunity in the first half to head one home, gets the equalizer in the 58th. And then it's a straight up coin flip the rest of the day. Miami had moments where it felt like they were going to find the winning goal. Lionel Messi started to come to life. Luis Suarez started to be more influential. It looked bad at times for Atlanta. Rob Valentino did not react in that way, though. You look back at the subs. Williams gets the goal. Tristan Mbeumo for Dax McCarty, like for like, in the 70th minute. Daniel Rios for Jamal Tiare in the 78th, like for like. Miami went for it with Leo Campana and Matias Rojas coming on for Diego Gomez, like for like. But for Noah Allen, Miami went to a line of four in the back with Campana coming into the game. Instead of 5 minutes later, Atlanta saying, I got to hold on for penalties. Instead of Rob Valentino and his staff saying, we got to hold on, take it to penalties, cross our fingers. Jay Fortune had run himself into the ground. He had a huge tackle on Leo Messi at the top of the 18, right before he had to be substituted in the 89th minute. It was not a defensive substitution at that moment. It was Sean De Silva who came on in the 89th minute. 5 minutes later, he scores the winning goal. That is a credit to the guts of Rob Valentino to make that call and to go for the game in that moment where maybe you were in trouble. Maybe you were on the ropes in that moment, and Sean De Silva is the sub, and he repays Rob Valentino's faith in him. Let's hear from Derek Williams. He spoke to Mike Conti and I from the locker room after the match. This is Derek on Shonday's goal and a little bit more from Saturday night.
To be honest, I can't remember much. I think, was it Alexi played him in? Yeah.
And Rios before that.
Yeah, great finish. And then I was too tired to run all the way down there. So I kind of just had my hands in the air. Just like, yeah, it was a great feeling. I'm just happy that we can give the fans something to celebrate. I think the last 3 or 4 weeks have really been a massive boost to everyone in this club. We all know it was a difficult season, but I think this last 3 or 4 weeks we've more than made up for it, I think.
After the game, we talked about how Rob and his staff have really worked to bring this group together with you guys as well. How important have what they've brought to the table been in this run?
Massive. I said this before. I said, if you've seen this team in the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's a Rob Valentino team. It's a hard-working, roll your sleeves up and get stuck in. And I think we've been doing that. And, yeah, we're doing this. It's going well.
All the pressure is going to be on them now next Saturday.
That was Derek Williams from the locker room with myself and Mike Conti after the game. This is a Rob Valentino team right now, and they are getting results. I want to share one more clip that you might not have heard yet. This was Bartosz Schlisz, who caught up with our friend Madison Cruz in the locker room talking about things after the 2-1 win over Inter Miami on Saturday night.
The emotions of tonight as a whole, you know, we saw you get emotional on the field sometimes after a couple of tackles, especially after this game. What was the emotion going through you after the final whistle?
Yeah, it was crazy game because, yeah, we bounced back and it was great. Again, we lose the game, but we know how to come back and this is great. So I'm really happy with this team that we can score, we can come back, and this is great. And the emotion was, it was amazing. And that's why we play. That's why we train every day for this moment to enjoy with our fans. And yeah, unfortunately, it's our last game before our stands. But yeah, we're gonna do everything to play in the final.
Resiliency is something that you brought up, many other people have brought up about this team. How important is it to show that resilience? You know, going down 1-0 at halftime, coming in, getting the win here today. How important is it to show you guys are resilient, you guys are able to bounce back after those difficult moments?
I think we showed that we have a very strong team, that because it's not first time that we bounce back and they took the lead and we have to come back. And really, it's not easy. If you concede the first goal, it's not easy to come back, even to against Inter Miami, because this is a great team also. But like I said, it's not first time when we showed it. And that's why I'm really happy and I'm really excited that we can do it. But I hope the next game we're going to take lead and we're going to win.
That was Bartosz Schlisz with Madison Cruz from the locker room after Atlanta United's 2-1 win over Inter Miami. I thought Bartosz was a massive factor in this game. And when you look at his progression, especially here late in the season, Madison asked Bartosz about the emotion. There was a tackle he made on Messi at the top of the 18 before Fortunes, if I remember correctly. and he made the play, and it was like double fist pumps. He was so pumped up. When we see that emotion out of Bartosz Ślisz, Atlanta United is in a much better place. He is starting to understand, I think, what it means to be a leader in this group. Even if it's not always a vocal leader, he's a leader with his actions on the field. We're going to get deeper into Atlanta United and Inter Miami Game 3 on Saturday night. What will decide it? We'll talk about a few of those factors coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're talking about Atlanta United. We're talking about this round one playoff series in the MLS Cup playoffs. We're talking about Inter Miami, the best team in MLS history in terms of regular season points earned. Maybe the best roster ever composed in a professional soccer team in the United States. You want to start comparing old New York Cosmos rosters to this Inter Miami roster? Yeah, it's something you can sit there and compare. This team is that good. But Atlanta United has played them to a standstill. 2-1 loss in Fort Lauderdale in game one, where Miami was rested and Atlanta was not. And a 2-1 win for Atlanta on Saturday night in front of almost 70,000 people at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, thanks to Sean De Silva's late stoppage time goal. You look at the goals that have been scored in this series. Atlanta's three goals. You've got great interplay with Pedro Amador and Saba Lobjanidze down in Fort Lauderdale. You've got a cross from Pedro Amador, his second assist of the series, to pick out Derek Williams on a recycled play. And you've got the one-touch passing that led to Sean De Silva's belter from the top of the 18. You look at the goals that Miami scored. A giveaway in your defensive third that you end up getting punished for in the first 2 minutes in Fort Lauderdale. A golazo from Jordi Alba, nobody stopping. And a fluky play where Federico Redondo steps to impede Brad Guzan as he is going to release a punt. They don't make contact. There isn't a foul call. The ball drops. David Martinez puts it home. You take the quality of the goals. You take the overall balance of the 180-plus minutes that have been played in the series. You would not think that it is a 1-9 matchup. Game 3, going to be a completely different story, in my opinion. Inter Miami is going to bring everything they have to not have their season end here, which would be a catastrophic failure for that club. No way around it. It would be an epic failure for what Miami has set out to achieve in 2024. If they get bounced in the first round with two games at home and they get bounced by a team that got into the postseason on the last day. Atlanta United has absolutely nothing to lose here. And they have to be gaining confidence from the way they've played against this Miami team. Let's hear some clips from today. We were at media availability today. It was an open training session. Talk a little bit about some of the things they worked on and some of the keys to this game three on Saturday night in Fort Lauderdale. But let's get a little bit of a mega mix of Saba Lobjanidze as he spoke to the media today. A lot of different things that Saba talked about. Here is some of what he had to say this afternoon.
Could you talk a little bit about the battle that you've had in these two games with Jordi Alba?
Yeah, I hate him, honestly. No, he's a great guy, but, you know, like, it's really hard to follow him. And I think it's really hard for him to follow me, you know. So, like, both we are, like, he's running behind me and I'm running behind him, you know. So, yeah. Let's see, Saturday, yeah.
It almost felt like you evened each other out.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is what I'm saying. You know? I mean, like, he's in, or sometimes behind me, I'm behind him. So, like, whoever will be more product in the offensive, to be, they will win, you know.
Seeing Miami three different times now, how has it been getting to really dive deep into what they do tactically and being able to see that and having a lot of time being able to study them and what they can do?
Yeah, we are honestly, like, we are learning about Miami tactics. Like, every day we have a theory. The Corop is doing everything for that. So, like, honestly, like, what they will do, I think Rob knows more than me, so I trust him. So whatever he says, we have to do.
Sava, Brad has been a hero for you guys throughout the season. Shande Silva was the hero on Saturday. Do you think it's your time, perhaps, or anyone else's time? Who do you see as the hero on Saturday? Could it be you?
Whatever he will be, I'll be happy. You know, like, I mean, Brad is he did amazing job. Shande also, like, he made directly impacted, you know, he came inside and directly impacted the game. But maybe last game I scored, but it's not like someone was hero, and it's like team, you know. So if someone's like, if I will score next game, it will not be okay, I'm the best or something, you know. It's a team. So, like, whatever we do compact. Even this Shande's goal was amazing finish, but like, what we did, like, one touches, like, everyone did his job, you know. So, like, if someone will not do the job, like, we can score, and do someone will not be hero, you know. Sure. So, like, the team will be hero.
That was Sava Lobjanidze from After Training Today. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. Some interesting things there from Sava. One, I completely agree with him. Whoever is more productive in the attacking zones between Sava and Jordi Alba, whoever's team gets more production out of their player in that matchup will likely win on Saturday. I think that matchup is so vital. It was basically a draw on Saturday night, and others had to come to the fore. Thought Jordi Alba maybe got a little bit better of it in Fort Lauderdale because the legs were very tired and heavy. Sava needs to find a way to outplay one of the best fullbacks to ever play the game. Not going to be easy to do, because it's not just about those two players in that matchup. It's about how you use those players and what they have to do and who gets out of their comfort zone. I think the other thing is talking about being compact and being difficult to play through, and the team being the star. That's what this Atlanta United team has become under Rob Valentino. It's not about the individuals. It's not about waiting for Thiago Almada to bail them out of a jam. They're not asking Alexei Maranchuk to do that. They're not asking Sava to do that. They're not asking Brad Kazan to constantly stand on his head. He's done very well. He's given up some goals as well, because he's human, you know, happens. He's not a polar bear for real. He's a human being. This is a team that has been about the collective, and they're going to have to be about that collective to overcome the star power of Miami. I think when Miami has been their best this season, they have gotten collective performances, especially from the other seven players. If you include Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, the four super friends. The other seven for Miami have to be collectively strong, and they have to be able to step up a level than what they might be able to do individually. And I think when they've been really good this year, they've done that. Where they've not been able to do that, they've been exploited at times. I don't think this is a strong defensive team in Miami. And when you get into the postseason and games get a little bit tighter, defense becomes more important. And I don't think Tata Martino has the ability to lean on the defensive side of this team. So he's got to lean on the attacking side. And he's got to expect Messi to do what Messi has done throughout his career. You have to expect Luis Suarez to do what he has done throughout his career. You've got to expect Jordi Alba to impact the game in the offensive third like he's done throughout his career. You've got to ask Sergio Busquets to do what Sergio Busquets does. And he might not be able to do that in game three. We don't know about his availability yet. So it's not what Tata Martino did here in Atlanta in 2018, where the team became more conservative and got a little more defensive, and that led them to a championship in the MLS Cup playoffs. This Miami team cannot do that. I think we saw that Saturday night, where they didn't have the energy in the attacking half consistently, and they weren't good enough on the night to get the win. They're going to have to find a way to do that. Atlanta United's going to have to find a way to make that difficult for Miami. One of the players that will be involved in making that difficult is Ronald Hernandez. Hernandez replacing Brooks Lennon, who is now out for an extended period of time after surgery on his dislocated shoulder that he suffered in game one. Ronald came back after illness where he missed game one, was vital in game two. I think he is a vital piece of the locker room, a vital piece of the overall character of the team on the field. Ronald answered a question today from a couple of different questions, one from Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic about Rob Valentino and the coaching staff. I asked him to expand on that a little bit more in English, and here's what Ronald Hernandez had to say about his coaching staff that he is being led by with Atlanta United.
Yeah, like I said before, Rob is one of the guys that knows the club very much, and one of the thing that he changed was facing 1v1 meetings and then trying to address why we play football, why, what is the purpose, why we came here every day, why we wake up every day in our life. I think that is a huge thing for us because, you know, if we talk about football, we can talk about for hours, you know, but when we talk about our life, is more specific, it's more meaningful. So when your leader start to do this stuff, I think the connection is becoming more bigger, you know. So that, for me, that was one of the important keys that he brought once he become the leadership.
I really, really enjoy getting the chance to talk to Ronald Hernandez. I think he gives you a different kind of insight, and getting to hear from him throughout this season has been an absolute joy, and seeing him play the way that he has played this season has been a joy to watch. It's a very important thing that he talked about there that will be very important in game three. What Rob Valentino has been able to do with this team that is not complete in the sense that they have a lot of different weapons and a lot of different ways to hurt you. Rob has had to be pragmatic in the best sense of the word in finding ways to get results. He's done a pretty good job of that, especially since the League Cup break, especially against playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, where Atlanta United has had the best record against Eastern Conference playoff teams since the League Cup break. I think one of the reasons that he has been able to do that is what Ronald Hernandez said to you right there about making it personal and getting to the personal motivations of these players. FEA is a fun catchphrase, a fun acronym that I can't really tell you what it means. Mike gave you a sanitized version at the opening of the match on Saturday night. It means something that I can't say on the radio. But it's not just something to say that, ooh, it's salty. It's nothing like that. It's real. And I think what you've seen from this group is a real attitude of, we don't care about what people think. We don't care about that noise. We are going to fight for each other. We are going to fight for the club. And we are going to fight for what we want the club to be. And that is a winner. And this team has done that. And it has been incredible to watch that coalesce over the last few weeks. And they go into a game against the best team in league history in their building on the road on Saturday night with an absolute chance to go win that and completely wreck the league's plans for this postseason. Being the spoiler is a big motivation, and I think Atlanta United is feeling that. We'll talk a little bit more about that game. We'll also get into the 3-4-3. Y'all know how this show ends by now. Three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We'll be back in five on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. Getting ready for Atlanta United, making the trip down to South Florida to face Inter Miami on Saturday night. Don't forget that match will be on Star 94. Pre-game coverage starting at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. Kickoff will be just after 8 p.m. Right now, though, it's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines. Three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. And let's start with the local side. Number one, one of the craziest matches that I have ever called in my broadcast career was earlier this evening. Decision day in the Sun Belt Men's Soccer Conference. Georgia State had a chance. They had a pathway to get into the Sun Belt Conference tournament. 8 of 10 teams go. Georgia State 2 points out to start the night. They needed some help. They got that help. They needed to beat Kentucky in downtown Atlanta at the GSU Soccer Complex. They scored first. Then they gave up 3 goals in 11 minutes. Then they gave up a goal to start the second half, down 4-1. I think pretty much it's over at that point. Then the game got really crazy, and it ended up finishing 7-4. Kentucky won. Casper Moles, Kentucky's goalkeeper, made 12 saves on the night on Georgia State. Still conceded 4 goals and had a great goalkeeping performance. Casper Moles, remember, was a draft pick of Atlanta United, and Atlanta United holds his MLS rights. He's a junior at Kentucky, could go back for one more year if he wants to. Played really well tonight. Just a crazy game. 43 shots in total between these two teams. 7-4. Never had a game like that. Absolutely bizarre, but Georgia State's season comes to an end on the men's side. Georgia State season came to an end on the women's side as we move to headline number two. Regular season is over for Georgia State, for Mercer, and for the University of Georgia on the women's side. Today in the SEC quarterfinals, Georgia lost to Arkansas, a goal in the 82nd minute from Anaya Robinson. That puts Georgia at 8-6-6 overall for the season. They have to wait to see about at-large bids for the NCAA tournament. It seems like they will get one. They've had some really big results this season, but they have to wait and see at this stage. Georgia State and Mercer, their seasons ended in heartbreaking fashion in their conference tournaments. Last night, Georgia State in the Sun Belt lost in a penalty shootout to back-to-back Sun Belt tournament champions Old Dominion. 1-1 final, a great goal from Elena Diaz to start the scoring. Georgia State finished the season on a 6-game unbeaten run, including that game, 4-0-2. Both of those draws were to Old Dominion to begin that stretch and to end that stretch. The penalty shootout ends Georgia State's women's season. Mercer's women's season ended in overtime to Chattanooga in the SoCon quarterfinals. Larkin Thomason scored her 16th goal of the year. It wasn't enough to propel the Bears to advance to the SoCon semifinals against Western Carolina. Number three on the headlines, I personally really enjoyed calling the Atlanta United U18 match on Saturday morning, a 3-0 win over Charlotte. Ashton Gordon had a golazo, a volley. He also had an assist. Isaiah Vicinetti, who is new to the Atlanta United Academy, he had two goals and one assist. Thought really impressive performances all over the field for the Atlanta United U18s. A fun match to call. You can go back and watch it on YouTube. Four headlines from around the world, part of the 343. Let's get caught up on the MLS Cup playoffs. Shock of the playoffs so far, outside of what Atlanta United has done, has been the New York Red Bulls. They beat Columbus in two games. A 1-0 win in Columbus and a penalty win at Red Bull Arena. Columbus wasn't bad in the two games. The Red Bulls were just a little bit better, and they advance. A lot of referendums being placed on Columbus and how good they really have been. I will continue to say that I think what they have done over the last 18 months has been as good as we have seen in MLS in terms of overall quality. They do have trophies for that. They have an MLS Cup last year. This year is going to go down as a little bit of a disappointment, though. It has to, with how things ended in a shock against the Red Bulls, who hadn't been very good as of late. They have gotten Emil Forsberg back, and that has made them a very different team. With him, they're not the team that finished seventh in the East. Other headlines in the MLS Cup playoffs. LAFC, they have been great at home, but they went to Vancouver and did not look great. Vancouver won that game to send it to a game three. LAFC 11-2-4 at home in 2024, though. Vancouver, they've got more wins on the road than they do at home. So they've been able to handle it. But in must-win games at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles, LAFC has not lost since the 2019 Western Conference Final. 7-0-0. FC Cincinnati, they get back home after a loss in New York. They host NYC in game number three. NYC won four games on the road during the season. Cincinnati won seven games at home. Keep in mind, maybe a little bit of a distraction for NYC, Nick Cushing. He is a candidate to become the head coach of the women's side at Arsenal. He won six trophies, including a league title with Manchester City on the women's side before joining NYCFC as an assistant back in 2020. Orlando, Charlotte, they're going to game three in Central Florida. Orlando 3-1-1 in their last five games at home. Remember the loss against Atlanta United. Orlando has never lost a postseason match at home. 3-0-0. Let's get caught up on the Champions League back in action today. Maybe the biggest shock of the day was Milan going to Madrid and defeating Real Madrid 3-1. Maybe the bigger shock was Sporting defeating Manchester City, who has lost three in a row in all competitions. Sporting, with their manager on his way to Manchester United, beat Manchester United's big rivals. Very, very interesting. Other results, Liverpool 4-0 at home over Xabi Alonso's Leverkusen. Lille and Juventus, a 1-1 draw in France. Celtic with a big win in Scotland over RB Leipzig 3-1. Borussia Dortmund 1-0 winners today. Monaco on the road at Bologna, a 1-0 win. Dinamo Zagreb, a 4-1 win over Slovan. PSV, a 4-0 win at home over Girona. And we look ahead at the schedule the rest of the week. Tomorrow in Champions League, Bayern and Benfica. That's going to be an interesting one. Barcelona on the road at Red Star Belgrade. Feyenoord hosting our Red Bull Salzburg. Inter hosting Arsenal. PSG hosting Atleti. Two huge games. Don't sleep on Stuttgart hosting Atalanta as well. And now in the new Champions League format, or in the European formats, you don't have Champions League on Thursday, luckily, this time around. You do have plenty of Europa League and Conference League. So lots of UEFA competitions in the midweek if you need a distraction as you get ready for MLS Cup playoffs to restart. Number three on the headlines, plans to stage a La Liga match in Miami. That's been put on hold, according to ESPN. Not enough time to get things nailed down. Barcelona was going to play Atleti in December in Miami. ESPN had revealed this last month. The La Liga office was very optimistic about getting this done. It would have been a Barca home game, moved to Miami. But you got a lot of different moving parts that you have to get done. According to reports that ESPN is putting out, the plans have been temporarily parked. They're not going to be able to get it done for a game that is on the weekend of December 21st. You got to get La Liga approval. You got to get Spanish Federation approval. You got to get U.S. Soccer approval. You got to get CONCACAF approval. You got to get everything done in Miami. You got a lot of different things. They don't have enough time to get this done, about 6 weeks. It's going to happen at some point now with some of the legal challenges that have come about hosting games outside of your home country. It's going to happen sooner rather than later, and La Liga playing in Miami would be the one that I would expect to kick it all off. Number four on the headlines, French authorities raided the headquarters of the French Professional Football League and the home of the LFP's president, Vincent Labrune. This was on Tuesday. It's part of an investigation into corruption concerning the agreement that the league made with the investment fund based in Luxembourg, CVC Capital Partners. This was involving the TV rights deals that France is well under the other big four leagues in Europe. The French set for this last sale of television rights, $720 million, far below what they had hoped to get, which was $1.09 billion. For example, in England, it's about 4 billion euro per season. Spain, about 2 billion euro per season. Germany, 1.25. Italy, 900 million. In terms of euro, France expected 1 billion euro. They got 660 million. So there's a lot of conversations about it, a lot of potential kickbacks being investigated. Keep an eye on corruption in France. Let's see this out with three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Number one, you heard from Derek Williams earlier in the show. His performance on Saturday night, his performance as of late for Atlanta United, he isn't the most vocal leader in the group, but he is one of the steadiest leaders in the group. And I thought he did a lot to execute Atlanta's game plan. Atlanta defensively wanted to take away the area, roughly a rectangle, 25 yards from goal to the penalty spot, widen it out a little bit wider than the goal on each side. That is where Miami makes their offense click. That is where Lionel Messi thrives. That is where he finds combinations. That is where he goes to find a cutback from Jordi Alba. That is where Miami kills you. Atlanta worked on it last week incessantly to take that away. Derek Williams stepping to Luis Suarez in that space, stepping to Lionel Messi in that space, was vital in the performance. He executed the game plan and made it work to perfection. Number two, obviously, and you've seen the video by now, the booth cam is out from Atlanta United. I did everything possible to not yell over Mike Conte as he was yelling quite a bit as Sean De Silva scored one of the greatest goals that you will see at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Just the feeling in moments like that. You know, a lot of people have asked me about it in these last couple of days since that goal. And, you know, I've jokingly said I kind of blacked out. I kind of did. I kind of went numb. I can't describe it. It's an amazing rush of adrenaline. I think one of the things that I noticed watching it back is like I was starting to stand before the ball got to Silva. I think it was when Maranchuk had it and he passed it. And I'm like, oh, that's a really good decision. And I started to get out of my seat. You don't get those moments all that often. You can't expect those kinds of moments. You can't wait for them to get excited. I had a conversation online, which I try to avoid these days. But I had a conversation online after the win in Orlando where Atlanta United celebrated a lot after getting everything to fall their way and beating Orlando. And there were some shots taken about, well, Atlanta United shouldn't be celebrating this way. They should expect bigger things. You never can guarantee bigger things. You can never guarantee that you will get what you want or what you think you deserve or what you expect. You have to celebrate the little victories along your path. Your path might not ultimately take you where you want it to. Your path might not bring you everything that you think you should get, you think you deserve, you think you need. When you have successes along the way, and this moment for Sean De Silva, the moment in Montreal and the penalty shootout, the moment in Orlando, you have to celebrate them and you have to hold them close and you have to cherish them. Don't ever forget, if you're an Atlanta United fan and you were in that building, or you're an Atlanta United fan and you were watching the game at a bar, don't ever forget how that felt on Saturday night. And number three, things that make me smile about the game as we close out AST tonight. The chance to play against the best there is with absolutely nothing to lose. Atlanta United goes into Fort Lauderdale with no expectations of winning from the national media, probably from most of the local media, probably from a lot of the fan base, because Miami's that good. You get to go and be the ultimate spoiler. Everything in MLS is built around Miami winning and Lionel Messi lifting trophies, because that's going to get a lot of attention. What will also get a lot of attention? If Lionel Messi doesn't win and Atlanta beats him, I cannot wait to see how this plays out on Saturday night. Be with us on the radio. Mike Conti and I will be in Fort Lauderdale. Kickoff is 8:10 on Saturday night. Don't forget, you can listen on Star 94. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. Pre-game coverage will start at 7 o'clock. Me and my friends with soccer down here, we will have tons of coverage, as we will have a lot of people on the ground in Fort Lauderdale at Chase Stadium. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on AST tonight. We're back next Tuesday, and we're going to have a lot to break down from South Florida. Hopefully you will join us on Saturday night. Have a good rest of the evening. Adios, everybody.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.